Hello there, listener. This is Amit. This is actually an episode gleaned from the cutting room floor, you could say, of episode 90, Straight Shooter. When I was away, the rest of the Uncommon crew decided to play, and they ended up talking a lot about secondary writers and the way Toei works with them, and you're going to hear warnings about this, but I'm going to say it here, too. This episode is full of spoilers about who Mach is going to be and how they will come into the show. So I just wanted to let you know that, and I'm probably just going to leave in the gaps where there were, because they talked about it for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, and then stopped, and then picked up talking about it again, and it starts with Sono saying, I'm just going to go back to this now. So, there you go. I'm going to let you have that, and it's because I'm a person with not a lot of time, but I'm fortunate enough to be working with people who really have some great things to say, so I'll be quiet now and let you listen to the episode. Enjoy and leave comments, questions, concerns. All that contact information will be at the end of the episode. Get your fix of the Uncommon Cast Director to the Uncommon Writer Show. Join us as we discuss the bravest of all the fighters and those Heisei guys, too. With burning justice in our souls, let's tear it up!
Well, I'm Aleph.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Sono.
Okay, so moving kind of back into the topic, I guess. So let's address the elephant in the room, because we've talked about this nearly... We've mentioned this sort of nearly enough. But spoiler warning, I guess we should probably put on for the next, like, I don't know how long this is going to take. It might take a while. But yeah, you might not want to listen to this if you don't want spoilers. But there's been quite a lot of news that's come out in the past, like, couple of hours. Are we talking, like, 2 hours as we record this, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, very recently, anyway.
It's just, about definitely at least earlier today.
Yeah, like, and we're recording this on, well, for me,
Wednesday?
It's Wednesday night.
But, yeah.
I mean, it could be any time for anybody else. Actually, in fact, it's nearly Thursday, but anyway, the end. But yeah, so, like, there's been a lot of news that's dropped in the recently. And Sono, do you want to summarize that for us?
I will. We got a press conference for Movie War Full Throttle, in which we are formally introduced to Mach, his actor, whose name I forget at the moment because I don't care. And we find out his name, which tells us quite a bit about him. His name is Shijima Go. He is Kiriko's younger brother. Kiriko's younger brother, who has not been mentioned at all in the past 8 episodes, is our secondary writer. He's apparently a photographer who's been working freelance abroad, wherever abroad is, so I guess that's why, I don't know.
I think they mentioned America.
Great.
That completely foreign country that no one knows anything about. That weird.
His name is Yu Inaba.
Okay. I'm sure he's a fine actor. But I'm angry. Why?
Well, I think that's legit.
It's totally legit. Like, I read the news and I was just like, no, they haven't. They haven't. Oh, they have. Oh,
it's,
no. And, not again.
It's not even that I was demanding it be Kiriko. I can live with it not being Kiriko, and I'm like,
then why is it not Hayase?
Yeah,
why?
If it's not Kiriko, it has to be Hayase. Like, why do we even still have him then?
Yeah, that's the question.
Totally legit. Why is he? What role is he serving? And like, and what was the whole? And what was the point at the end of this episode of bringing them all three of them together in a team that looks like a, you know, a good team? Like,
yeah,
the chemistry between the three of them in just those, like, that minute or so they were on screen together,
which
was
great. Amazing. It was
like, what,
it was a beautiful scene, and both Hayase and Kiriko know Tomari very well. They both interact with him in very different ways. They both get him doing things in very different ways.
And they balance each other really well.
They
like,
do.
Between themselves. But, yeah.
So why not have, over the next 4 episodes, because we're getting Mach in episode 12, have some scenes with Kiriko visiting him alone in the hospital. Having them talk about Tomari and the fact that he's in a slump, that they're both trying to convince him that this wasn't his fault. Have the two of them bond, and then have them be like, Rina is like, okay, we've got another suit. What do we do with this? And they're like, we know who to give this to. We know who can work well enough with us to get this done. Give it to Hayase, have him join in the fight, and have the three of them work together, and have Kiriko go full Ichijo. And, like, that's, as long as Kiriko goes full Ichijo, where, like, have Rina give her a door gun of her own, and have her having bullets that can actually affect the Roimutes, where she can fight on her own.
She can shoot them in the face. And yes! Amazing.
Yeah. Like, that would be perfect. But this feels like a cop-out.
It really does, because it's so close to being her. Like, it's like,
I think I saw someone saying, like, we want it to be, it's like someone saying we want it to be her, but it can't be because she's a woman, so we have to make it her younger brother.
Yeah. Like, why? What is it about, we still haven't gotten a specific answer for why Kiriko can't be Drive. I need a specific answer to that. To know why her brother is allowed to be one.
And also, I really hope, just to have
evidence that they care. Like, they've said, no, I can't for reasons. And like, if they let it drop there, it's like they don't even care to put a loincloth over that mess. Not even a fig leaf. Just, no, we can't. Why? Nah. We don't care to make anything up.
And also if they're gonna go down the route of like the younger brother being like, I don't know, like the more headstrong or something, like it just, I don't know, it doesn't feel right to be introducing a rider at this point when Tamari himself still has so much growing to do. Like it doesn't feel right to introduce a secondary rider this early on.
It doesn't feel right to introduce another protagonist character at all. This is another huge issue I have. In that our protagonist cast is 6 people. It's 8 people if you count Hayase and Mr. Belt. Which I do because they keep showing up and have at least a minute of screen time each and everyone's getting lines. And not everyone is a well-developed character, but they're characters we're devoting time to. You're gonna throw a 9th person into this. This is going to go the route of the Kamen Rider Club where we're gonna get another Shun. Where someone's gonna get shoved off into a corner, and their development's gonna completely backslide, and we don't have enough room for another person. And I can accept Medic, because our antagonist cast is 3 people.
Yes.
And, like, we have-
But they've got next to no development at all, so-
They're getting there.
Well, not to mention-
Are they, though?
They are. Brain is hysterical. Brain and Heart.
He gets like 2 lines an episode. I have distinct issues with how this villain cast is being handled because there's so much potential there and it annoys me. I don't know.
They're at least getting personalities now. They haven't started actual character. Chase is starting his actual character arc. Heart and Brain are at least developing personalities. I'm willing to take them a little slowly. Again, cause there's 3 of them. And we have like 40 more episodes.
Yeah, no, that's
so. I'm willing to give them the pass.
Fair enough. I don't know. I felt, especially with things like the Grongi and stuff, I always, especially in that, I felt I understood them more at this point in the series. Like, 8 episodes in, I felt I kind of vaguely got what they were going for and kind of what they were about.
But we only ever had really 2 character developed Grongi in Rose and Dagoba.
I know, but I still don't feel I really understand what they're going for other than this promised number, which isn't explained, and, like, why they're doing it. Like, there just seems to be this whole kind of thing that either I'm missing because I'm stupid, or, like, it's just not there.
No, it's not there. I have no idea what they're actually going for.
Yeah,
but
this is what I mean.
They're developing personalities, and there's only 3 of them. I'm willing to allow them a 4th member.
Yeah.
But, like, circling back...
Sorry, yeah.
I don't feel like we have any more space for another person. And what is this going to do to Kiriko?
Yeah.
I'm really...
Well, we all know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be...
It's going to be terrible.
And I'm going to shove everyone into the Inoue River. But...
Oh, the giant Inoue River.
But it's... I feel like...
The tears of sadness.
Her family isn't an element of her character.
Yeah.
It's not
of anyone's character. No one has a family connection, really.
And someone kind of tried to make the excuse to me that, well, we've only seen them at work. Well, we only saw Rinko at work, and we know that her father was a huge motivation for her character. We only ever saw Haruto at work. We only ever saw Eiji at work.
If we're going to use we only see them at work as an excuse for bad characterization, then that's still a craft failure on their part. Because through how someone is at work, you should be showing who they are. You know, you put pictures of their family on the table. Oh, who's this? That's my dad, Blobby Blue.
Yeah.
That's my loser brother. He's off in America. That's 2 seconds.
We had a photographer in this episode. This episode was about two photographers. Why did this not come up?
Why does nothing come up on this show? Okay. We're 8 episodes in.
Yep.
I have no idea what our thesis statement is. I do not know what the show's theme is, and I know that these are things that build, and things that eventually, you know, you come back at the end of the series and go, oh, okay. But I feel like most series, at least in the first 2 to 4 episodes, say, this is who we are, this is what we're about.
Like, Hibiki, you get that in, like, the first 10 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
Yuki, you get that in the first 10 minutes.
It's literally like, this is, right, like, go on.
I could go through every series up until Gaim. And even Gaim set forth a thesis statement, it just didn't follow it up.
Gaim
is a bad essay written by a person who's convinced that just throwing the word transcendental in makes it poetic.
I love that description. I'm so using that. But
I know
what you mean. There's a lot of confusion at the center of Drive, and it really worries me as you say, Sono, with bringing in this ninth member, because to handle a large cast you need very, very, very tight writing and competent writers to do it. And I'm not saying the people who are working on this are incompetent. I don't think that for a minute.
But we haven't done
very well with large casts in the past several years.
No, I agree.
And I mean, that was really a strong point of Wizard.
Be a large cast
Wizard had
show,
a very small, they, very
it's
manageable
not been
cast.
Done in a way that makes sense a lot of times. I don't know, because is the cast of Kiva quite big, considering like all the two time periods and stuff?
Oh, the villain cast is very small, but the protagonist cast, I mean, you've got like 4 people in the present, like 6 people in the past.
Yeah, that's close to 10. Fair enough.
But they also have a good judge from the get-go of who is important, who is less important, who gets development, who does not. This show, one of my problems with Drive is that, and that I think is going to be exacerbated with the arrival of Mach and Medic, is that we have these large casts, as you've been saying, Sono, and that's not even getting into the Cars, who are also supposed to be
part of this cast as well. Yeah,
yeah, like, they're characters on their own with their own deals and stories.
Again, I agree that it takes a certain kind of writer to handle a large cast, and it isn't something we've been able to do well in the past couple of years. And as much as Wizard did wrong, that's one thing it did very well. Wizard had a very small, very manageable cast where everyone had a specific role that couldn't be played by anyone else, except in very specific circumstances.
I mean, with the exception of, I'm very much, you know, I like Beast. He shouldn't have been there.
Beast is very much the wild card in this equation.
Yeah, but
I like him, I like his story, but he wasn't really tied to the main story in a lot of ways. But,
exactly,
I mean, specifically, you have...
But there is a very good economy of character
have Haruto as active magic, Rinko as active non-magic, Koyomi as inactive magic, and Shunpei as inactive non-magic. And they all had very specific roles on the team. And it worked very, very well. And then you have kind of the absolute train wreck that is the cast of Gaim, where I don't know what the point of most people in that show are.
Well, neither did
they. It was like in a perfect world, they all had these amazing roles, and it would have been awesome, and then it just got screwed up.
And
like,
I mean, even with O's, there were a few too many people in O's, and O's still made it work. O's juggled everyone well enough where it didn't become too big of a problem. But Forze. Forze had too many people.
Yeah.
Forze had way more people than it ever needed to have. And that was a huge downfall for it.
What do you think about the cast of Agito in terms of managing that? That's quite a big cast.
I sometimes forget that Agito is in three different shows. And so
the Agito show, the G3 show, and the Gills show.
Yeah, and I know they all come together, but I legitimately sometimes forget that G3 isn't its own show. I recently, several weeks ago, made a list of all of the female scientists in Rider and Super Sentai.
I
didn't put Ozawa on it because I forgot G3 was part of Agito.
I kind of know what you mean. There is an interesting. I love the tonal clash in Agito, to be honest, because it's a really interesting way of doing storytelling, and I love the way it all kind of comes together, and it's really cool.
I mean, I love Agito. I have nothing bad to say about anyone in Agito, but I think it says something that I forget that they're not all in the same show.
True. But that had quite a big cast, because you had Ozawa and the guy whose name no one remembers, and
Hojo.
Ikawa and Hojo, and then the chief of police, like, he stayed around quite a bit.
Yeah.
He kept reading.
And then Ozawa's mentor was there for a while. You basically had three full casts.
Yeah, and they juggled them pretty well, because you got, like, quite a bit of development on nearly all of them, apart from the father to Shoichi kind of thing.
Yeah.
He was kind of... I thought they were going to do a lot with him, and they kind of didn't.
He didn't really need to be more than he was, though. He was
true. It's funny when he gets drunk. I do find that quite funny.
Yes,
in the TV special, that's hilarious. But like, we were not talking about Agito because it's. But yeah, like
one
I
day.
Agree with you. I really worry about how this is going to affect everything. I just really don't want it to be like the cast's kind of. It's kind of shambling along, kind of vaguely getting there, and then you just get this new character comes in and just like sticks a spanner in absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Because I worry that's what they're going to do with it. Because it's, you know, the young kid who's been off in America and thinks he knows things and then comes in. I really hate that trope. I really don't want that to be what happens.
We don't need a third Date. We don't need Date version 3.
Yeah, because Date 1.0 was amazing.
Oh, yes, he was. Date was perfect.
Which series, sorry?
Oz.
Oz is one I have not seen yet. But I've been listening to this theme song like non-stop since like last week. So yeah, I probably should watch that soon. After Hibiki.
But then like Date 1.0 is great, and then we get Beast, who is literally Date 2.0. And
oh. I would never have made that connection. I see where you're coming from, but
if you break it down, they're coming from the exact same place.
The difference is Date is good.
Yeah, well. But I mean they're both coming into the show as a cocky outsider with kind of this overly optimistic attitude, hiding the fact that both of their lives are threatened, and that's why they're being a Kamen Rider.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, we don't need it
I don't. God.
I think that's a lot of my problem, and it's. I think that I've now watched so much Rider and Tokusatsu generally that I'm starting to have a feel for the flow and the tropes and all that, because a lot of what's going on in Drive is, it's like a lot of elements that everybody likes, so they just threw them in.
Mm.
A lot similar, I hate to say it, because this is better written than Gaim. But Gaim did a lot of that too, and I'm not very fond of it. It's why I don't want Chase to be Proto-Drive, and I wanted Mach to be one of the established cast, and
it makes sense from a storytelling point
it
of
does.
View. That's why you develop characters, to move them forward and to bring them into something new. You don't have to bring in people from the outside because you've got all of your building blocks already there. You don't need new things.
And I mean, even from the perspective of Toei, you hate spending money. Why do you want to pay another person?
Yeah, they hate spending money. They love raking it in, though.
The only thing about... actually, that would be really massive spoilers for Oz. If I were to say... the one Date-ish thing that I would like Go to do is pretty big Oz spoilers, but... I don't know.
Anyway.
If I should say it, but, I've posted about it in places and I would love to see that happen, but it just feels so forced.
It really does.
Yeah, it doesn't feel
so many of the major plot developments in this show, I feel, have been very artificial.
It's beginning to feel more that way. I don't know. I was hoping that the tone they would pick would not perhaps be this one, but then since these episodes are being written by different writers more, I do wonder if next arc it might feel completely different. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not, because it kind of strikes in the fact that, as you say, because there isn't a thesis statement, it's not like all of the writers are gunning at the same thing. You know, it's kind of like they were all told the concept and kind of went off and developed their own ideas based on that. Which in principle is not a problem, but then you need to have like an executive producer who's going, you know, guys, you know, we've got to focus it in on this because that's what we're going for.
Sanjo is the lead writer. He needs to take the lead.
Definitely.
And I don't feel he is. Because I know that he can do this. He has done it. He's pulled it off before. But
he's got to give people stuff to hang things on. Like, he's got to give them, you know, something.
It's just, I think back to the entire, there's a 10-episode stretch of Decade that has no lead writer.
Yeah.
And I wish I could remember Decade, because I can't, even a little. Because I'd love to make a comparison there as to if this feels like there's no kind of central lead pulling everything together.
I really liked Decade, so I feel like Decade. But Decade is one of those ones where I cottoned pretty quick that you're gonna have to put... You have to do the work here.
See, I have no
a lot to work with.
I have no negative feelings about Decade. But I think a problem with it is I don't actually remember the show.
No, that's fair.
I remember the Amazon episode, but I remember literally nothing else.
Decade is one of the ones that I want to watch after having seen all of Heisei, like the start of it, and then watch Decade, because
it's a lot more fun when you know what's going on.
Because it's the kind of series that I feel I could really get behind, and the more people talk about it, like, and the mess it got into, the more I'm kind of like, I really want to sit down and watch that and think a lot about it, because, like, it just sounds like a really interesting concept, but then, like, I just need to get there, so, you know.
I do really need to rewatch it. I watched Decade before I watched anything that came before Decade.
Ooh, yeah, rough.
Same.
So
it's not rough.
It's not, actually.
Oh, really?
Great,
okay.
Because it's how you decide, okay, well, what ones am I interested in?
Oh,
that,
like
that
a smorgasbord
seems nuts.
Effect,
let's do that.
Yeah,
okay, that's fair.
There are some major spoilers in Decade, but you won't know that there's a huge Kabuto spoiler in Decade, but you won't actually know it's a spoiler because you haven't watched Kabuto.
Well, and it's presented in a different enough way that like you can guess it and you figure it out, but at the same time, it once it plays out in the show, it's a whole different experience.
Yeah.
And I mean, like,
but
Decade does this thing where it tells all of the most of the stories differently, and that I want to go back and watch it for that and kind of see how they all kind of play themselves again. And really, the only thing I remember is that Ichijo was a woman, which confirms a lot of my suspicions about Kuga.
Oh, that bromance. What a
it's
joy.
Yeah.
That they were married. I mean, they were enough of a couple that Decade had to make Ichijo a woman in order to make it canon.
You mean like how Hikaru and Shinosuke are married, pretty much? Like, in Agato. This when they sit eating ice cream in the harbour, I'm just like, you're so married. Like, and when he finds out he's Agato and he's like trying to work out how to talk to him because he can't work out what to say, and he stands outside his house and rings the doorbell and Shuichi appears and he runs away. I just thought it was so cute.
There's an actual, one of the cold opens in Kuga is a minute and 30 seconds of Godai and Ichijo on a morning jog together, set to, like, romantic comedy background music. And they don't actually talk for a full minute.
Talk about shipping bait.
Like, All of Kuga is shipping bait. Literally every single person in Kuga ships Godai and Ichijo. All of their friends are like, are you two making out yet?
Oh dear.
Kuga's a special experience. Everyone should go watch Kuga.
Yeah, so anyway, back to dry.
Yes.
Since that's kind of a thing we should be doing. Should we go through some of the listener feedback? Or do you want to talk more about Mark?
I think we've made our point.
We've made our point.
We'll just wait until the episode happens, and then we'll have some informed hatred.
So, yeah, okay.
I'm going back to this. Especially with the fact that we're bringing in Kiriko's brother.
Yeah,
that's her home life, walking into this show with absolutely no pretense. We don't have Kiriko, like, getting letters from him, getting emails from him, calling her parents, being like, oh, we heard from Go about what he's doing.
Video chatting with him in the office.
Yeah,
or like,
why?
Or even just getting a phone call.
Yeah,
just,
one phone call it would do.
Beep, beep, beep. Not right now. Who is that? That's my loser brother. He's probably asking to borrow money again. Or something, you know, some sort of something where it's like she has a relationship to someone that she feels a way about.
It's very... I don't know how to put this though, in a way that I haven't already.
No, but I just wanted to put the just an extra pin in that.
Yeah, it's
set up because it just frustrates
it,
me.
It needs to be set up, and it's not.
We have got four more episodes to set it up, I guess.
Well, we do.
We're kind of reacting to this early, but still, I agree with you.
Well,
but I mean,
given where we are now, these are not dense episodes.
No, true, very true.
And I mean, it's not like this is something we're not being told. This press conference happened. Like, kids are gonna watch this press conference about this big movie.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Kids might not. I don't know.
But they'll definitely hear the news.
They'll definitely find out, like, oh, it's Kiriko's brother. Okay, but why? Like, he could literally be anyone.
Yeah, true. Like, it could have been the driver guy from a couple of episodes before.
That would have been great!
God, that would be amazing! That would be perfect!
I can totally see it now. Like, Tamari's losing out in battle and he's got the Mach brace or something, but he can't use it. And the driver comes along and is like, you were a calm runner, you helped me once, I'm gonna help you out, puts it on and is an amazing fighter. I've written the series. Thank you.
Yeah, certainly.
Toei, where's our check?
Totally. Like, we, oh man. Just, no, that would be cool. That would be cool.
There are so many other people this could be. Why this dude that we've never seen before? Why?
I'm guessing because that's the habit. I'm really feeling like it's very much just out of habit, because it's like when Date shows up as Birth.
With Date showing up as Birth, though, that...
It was good, but it also created, you know, there were people who had big problems with that.
I know,
I understand, it came out of nowhere.
I feel like the way with Date, they were deliberately setting up this very specific red herring, though.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm more okay with that, especially with how that comes around in the end. And that's actually what the only thing I want him, that I want Mach to Date. Because, you know, who ended up being Birth at the end?
Yep.
We could do that here. He's got a tie to someone. He's got a very close tie to someone. We could do that. Y'all see where I'm going with this. While I'm trying very hard not to spoil O's, but you both see where I'm going with this, right?
I do.
I haven't seen O's, so I want Kiriko in the thing.
Yeah.
I would be okay with that if that happened. I don't believe that's going to happen because, again, Toei will never love us that much.
Mm.
But
yeah, I mean, and if it does happen, it'll be a very sort of begrudging thing, like Ixa in Kiva.
All right, fine.
The girls can be Ixa, but we're not hiring a lady suit actor, and we're not making a second suit.
Fine.
Or like Decker Swan in Decker Ranger. That was always.
That was great.
It was, but it always felt kind of half-assed. It was like, oh, you can only use this power for one episode because we're not hiring the suit actor for any more than that. I was like, why not? She's definitely a part of the team. She needs to be better than
that. And I know that I, with Swan, with the context of who she is and how she works, I can accept it with Swan. Because there's legitimately no reason for Swan to go out and fight when she can just, you know, build a robot to run everyone over.
Yeah, totally.
Like, in the context of the time she used Deca Swan, she had no other choice.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like I'm making excuses, but I mean, there's...
It just always felt bad to me that in the final battle she couldn't then be Deca Swan again. Like,
she tried.
True.
She tried, but then she got knocked out. And I mean, I give them effort for at least writing in that she tried.
Yeah, true.
Like, that's more effort than they had to make. They actually remembered she could do it. And I'm willing to give them, you know, like a half a gold star for that.
Dear. Like some sort of recalcitrant child, you'd say.
But I mean, like, even in the past, when it was someone who came out of nowhere, like, with the exception of Date, it was always someone who was still tied close to the narrative.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, I guess that's the upside for Drive, not having a very strong narrative when they just add a new guy.
Whatever. But I mean, yeah. Like, Deno, Yudo was basically the whole narrative.
And what a wonderful narrative it was.
Yeah.
Kicking us in the guts. 2007 was a rough year.
It's the scene, I can never get out of my head is where he's walking through the crowd and they're all in black and white and he's the only one in color.
Oh,
yeah. That scene every frigging time. Every time. It's just, oh.
And I'm trying to think of other ones.
Oh, at the end with the shiitake mushrooms, where he comes back on the train after he's gone, and we're just like, no, you don't have to be alone anymore. No, don't come. And then Deno appears, and you're like, oh man, I want to hug you so much.
I mean, like Excel brought Shroud into the narrative, and she was a major part of the narrative, and that kind of filled out the rest of Double. Meteor almost had ties to the narrative, but then they forgot to use them ever again. Like, he came in with this strong tie with the Anti-Zodiacs Alliance, and then they forgot to make that more than a guy in space and a high schooler. And okay, Forze. Whatever. Whatever you want to do there. Trying to think back to other, like, small amounts of Rider series where they came in later. I think really, was Deno really the first one where that happened? I mean, there was also D-End, where he kind of comes in out of nowhere, but he's very, very closely tied to Tsukasa.
And he happens after Deno anyway, so.
I haven't actually watched, I've only seen Episode Red, because I needed closure. No, and I didn't get any.
No. Sad times. No, I'm trying to think. I don't think... I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen... I keep being reminded of how much Rider I haven't seen the more I listen to you talk about stuff. I'm like, oh, I need to watch
Agito, all three of them were there the whole time.
Yeah, well...
Mostly.
Gills is kind of introduced... They were definitely... G3 and Agito were definitely active right at the beginning, and Gills was kind of introduced...
We met the guy.
Yeah,
there is that guy. Who, again, is tied to the narrative.
Ashihara-san. Oh, what guy.
Ryuki, everyone's pretty much there.
Well,
people come in, but Ren is the secondary rider, and he's, like, the second person to show up in the show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ryuki, Fize.
Delta comes in really late, but does nothing.
Yeah, Delta's not really... Delta doesn't count.
No.
Kusaka came in early. He was there pretty early on. And
yeah, I think when I stopped watching, he had shown up.
Yeah.
Fize, Blade is after Fize.
Yeah.
And...
Always seems like it shouldn't be.
Yeah, it always feels like there should be something else there, but...
There's a big tonal shift.
Well, and it's... Okay, this is stupid, and me very much doing the post-Heisei thing, but I keep thinking, right, Blade, 4 suits of cards, then Fize, which is 5.
Yeah, Fize did have this kind of audacity of being the fourth Heisei rider.
They also had the audacity to use the wrong symbol for phi, which annoys me every time I see that.
they also had the audacity to have that pun in the opening song.
Oh, the end just
I am so angry. I am constantly reminded of how angry I am about that.
It would annoy me less, right, if every time he does a rider kick, it didn't show the symbol for the empty set, which is not the phi symbol. It's not. It's never how you draw phi. It's like, if it was uppercase phi, I could understand, oh, this is, being a mathematician, this kind of thing annoys me. But my guess.
With Blade, Tachibana was literally a rider before Kenzaki was. Mutsuki came in later, but Mutsuki is terrible.
What about Kabuto? Did that have?
The secondary rider character was there.
He was literally the main character of the show. then we moved to Deno, which is Yudo, and then Kiva.
Yeah, we've missed one. We've missed some.
Oh, Hibiki. Hibiki's in there, and they're all there the whole time. All three of them are there the whole time.
Besides, debatably, Hibiki himself is the secondary rider. The primary, of course, being Asumu. I understand after, episode 30 on, they changed that, but...
And then ruined my life.
Them, I don't care.
Yeah.
Non-Takatera Hibiki can perform unspeakable acts.
But... Hibiki's in there. All three of them are there for pretty much the whole show. They're all tied to the same thing.
Yeah. But we haven't really had that.
We don't really get that where it really starts with double, where it's someone kind of coming completely out of nowhere. But even then, there were still ties back to the main narrative. Really, except for Date, which was done on purpose.
Yeah.
And therefore you can forgive it because that was the actual intention.
Yeah, I definitely think it's definitely a trend that's happening more and more, but I don't know. I just wish they'd invest time in their characters, and I don't think they are. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, no, like, that's the problem here.
You've got to, if you want people to care, then you have to care, and I just get the impression they don't, and that's what really worries me.
This is my problem. This is why I've been having so many problems with Drive, because if nothing is, if it takes literally people dying before Shinosuke wants to start his engine, and if we're not going to talk about how there is something chemically in his brain that is preventing him from doing that and deal with the pain that itself causes.
Yeah.
Like, he just seems like he's not engaged, and if he's not engaged, why am I?
Yeah, I think this is the thing. This is what I was hoping with Mac was going to be kind of the end of Shinosuke being out of it, and he was going to be like, right, I'm now engaged and I've moved on as a character. That was what I was hoping Mac was going to be, but now it just seems like it's going to be a mess. So that's not going to happen. I was just hoping that was where it was going to be. Do we have any more points you want to bring up, or should we try and wrap this up?
I don't think so. I've said my piece about the final scene at the hospital and how amazing.
That was lovely.
It was nice. I think that's a nice place to end it on, is that scene, and hopefully we'll see more of that and less of.
I really hope because that really seems to be a trend, is putting less and less effort into developing characters.
Mm. And I would distinctly hope that that is not something we will see more of.
I hope we get away with it, away from it, because it's what's killing the American superhero market. Because there's a lot of stuff that's just going forward with the idea that superheroes are inherently interesting, and they're not. They're just not. You have to make them. Yeah,
I think that's been the interesting thing about some of the new DC TV stuff is actually with Flash. Oh, yeah. That's been really interesting. Is actually like trying to develop the character of the Flash and kind of exploring different things about him has been cool, and not just the fact he can run really fast.
I mean, we do have a lot of good people going into comics right now, so there's hope for that.
Well, there's hope.
I personally know a lot of good people going into comics. So, there's hope there, I promise. It might be okay.
I'm always showing up. I'm always happy to check it out. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I'm excited for. It's just, there has also at the same time been just the last few years have been kind of bleak, which is also, at least for the past 2 years, been the problem with Kamen Rider, because they've just been like, yes, he's a Kamen Rider. That's interesting. Mm. It's really not. Being a Super Sentai, don't care. You have to make me care. My job is to meet you halfway, but that means you have to move.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. But that means you have to come halfway, too. That's kind of how that's how it works.
And it's a really sad thing about Gaim, is that there was a lot about Gaim that I did think was interesting.
Before Gaim started.
There was potential, literally, if you take series concepts and rack them up with, a scale of how much potential this has, Gaim had that in spades. It just missed the ball every single time.
I'm seriously considering just taking kind of the concept of Chucky, Rika, and Rat and rolling with that in kind of my own some kind of narrative something, because the three of them were completely fascinating to me.
Yep. Definitely.
These three people completely separated from all of this madness going on, not aware of it, but not aware of the depth of it, and having to kind of navigate their way through it and still stick to what they're trying to accomplish in life. Mm. And then Gaim kind of forgot about them.
Yeah, and decided to focus on
terrible
being
people.
A show.
Yeah.
For some reason.
That were not, well.
Not
I mean, the,
anyway,
the idea,
anyway.
The idea of rebelling against the government, against.
Except that kind of didn't happen.
Except that didn't happen at all because the government was basically subsidizing what they were doing.
Yeah.
Well, especially since in the end, they're rebelling against an authority so that at the end of the series,
they can become the authority.
Not even become. They just follow the. He follows the rules.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah, sorry. They bow to authority at the end.
What?
Yeah.
He's literally Satan. You have the power of a god. You could at least say, "Well, now I'm going to oppose you for all eternity." Nah, just hey, thanks for ruining the lives of me and everyone I know. Have
now
fun,
I'd have
Satan.
To do it again.
I'll see you around.
Yeah.
See you next time.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, Sony, you don't even understand, how much we were foaming at the mouth when that happened.
Everyone is really lucky that I got fed up enough to leave.
Yeah, we would have been able to stop you, I imagine.
Especially you. You are the luckiest.
Yep. Well done. We had to endure it.
Wait, no, that's the worst part. We chose to endure
it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm an idiot.
As am I. But I know that bombshell.
And it's like I didn't even get far enough for the crazy stuff. My breaking point. I stopped mid episode.
17?
No, 24. I made it halfway. Okay. My breaking point was Takatora showing Kota the Yuya footage.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just nope. I'm done. There was literally no reason for that other than you to be a jerk. You're just deliberately out of... Because they'd had this conversation that I was into. I was warming up to Takatora. It was happening. I can't believe it, but it was happening.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, oh yeah, also you killed your friend, and...
Boom.
Here, you can watch it again. Here, it's right here. And I'm just like, why would you show him that? You've now completely destroyed everything you've been talking to him about for the past, like, two episodes.
Yeah, that's what Gaim was like, you know. Just set things up and knock them down. Yeah, that was pretty much what it was.
Well,
anyway,
if it didn't just forget them.
Anyway, so coming back to drive to round the episode up, because I think we've talked for about 2 hours, so, you know, it's pretty a good length.
Yeah.
Have fun, Amit.
And now the time has come for us to draw things to a close. You can reach us on Twitter at UncommonRx or the show's inbox, UncommonCastRx@gmail.com, to submit any questions, suggest topics for future discussion, or just let us know how we're doing. This episode's hosts can be reached at NeedsMoreAlif for Alif, at Trial of Heroes for myself, at The Imposter for Jonathan, and at Sono Your Face for Sono. Please rate and review to raise our visibility and listen to us wherever you are by subscribing through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS reader. This has been a production of the TOL Network, bringing you analysis with teeth. For more, visit trialofheroes.wordpress.com.